Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every day I will seek your face.
Thank you for tuning into USWAT Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leivon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of in-market involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of Leivon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our Human Resource Office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. That number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's biblical focus group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, Leivon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/rgru. That's www.myspace.com/rgru. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
Good evening. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to let you know something. Tonight I am very excited about the things that the Lord is doing. I'm also at this time very intrigued with the Lord. So I'm just going to go over it briefly. Today Oral Roberts wants to be with the Lord. Oral Roberts was very pivotal in the faith movement. Of course, you know, he came out with the slogan, God is a good God, and anybody who has listened to Oral Roberts over the years, you know, he started a university for believers, a spiritual university, and it was a great institution and endeavor that he sought to do on behalf of the Lord. So I think it's appropriate that we give honor to the man of God tonight for his accomplishment and his steadfastness into the things, into the promises of God. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the divine, driven by the Spirit, and we're going to talk in lines of just fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Being one of the strongest impacts that we had on many people was the emphasis of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and I thought it was appropriate to put in tonight. On Thursday, I will be teaching a new volume of studies. This is just a one-part lesson, but I think it's important that we give thanks to the Lord for the the life and the legacy of Oral Roberts. And of course, you know, a lot of the older generation who was associated and affiliated with the Charismatic movement note the magnitude and the difference that he made during that era with Catherine Kuhlman and Jack Cole and the rest of them. So this is a very unique transition. A few weeks prior to this week, as you heard, Billy Jim Doughty, who was also a mentee of Oral Roberts University, going to be with the Lord very suddenly at a younger age. And Oral Roberts went to be with the Lord this morning. We are, our prayers are with the Roberts family. And anyone that knows the Roberts family understands that although, and or any other ministry family, and I said us as ministers, you know, because we're often seen in the eyes and the lenses of the spiritual elite, I think people don't realize the magnitude of the loss that people actually intake. So our prayers are with you, family, because a lot of that, his contribution to the world set the pace to a lot of the advantages that we do today. And one of the greatest things known about him was that he not only created a spiritual edifice for education, but he also coined the term or the concept of God being a good God. And so I think, you know, when we hear that God is a good God, yes, he is, I think some people fail to realize that he was actually the writer of that song. And so although it's through the years have been filtered in different cultures and dialects, it's just a blessing to know. Of course, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and we don't grieve like the world. But certain ministers, especially who've had impacts on my life, I often get acknowledged to. And he was definitely one of the role models in the Christian movement, period. And so hats off to him tonight and Father Shaka. But I believe that when we talk about the driven spirit today, we're going to talk about the importance of heightening our awareness with the Holy Spirit so that way we can be alerted to the things that the Lord has purposed for us to achieve. And so before I pray, I wanted to make sure I acknowledge that he transitioned. I thank you for listening. If you're listening by internet, you need to get off the internet for some reason, you can always call 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. I'm excited about the things of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. If you have your notebooks, just I'm driven by the Spirit of tonight's lesson. We'll be going through quite a number of scripture tonight. So you're just going to have to flow with me with this, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made and we rejoice in the glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the confidence that we have in the Holy Spirit that leads us as educator and guide, that we rely on him to say what only the Spirit has to say to the church. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for having free course to do what you will, and that is to perform the will of your Father on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every minister under the sound of my voice that you've anointed them to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I believe their lives will never be the same as a result of this dialogue that we have discussed and on this course over the scrutiny of your word. And as we open up your word, we are open to receive this night. And Father, you be glorified in the things that are accomplished and revealed. Thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Driven by the Spirit, we all are driven by some form of motivation. That motivation is what determines whether or not we accomplish tasks. One of the intriguing facets about life is that we always have the opportunity to correct things, to improve things, to do things, and to resolve things. And a lot of times, because there are two forms of thoughts when I often approach the Holy Spirit. Whenever I teach on the Holy Spirit, one of the things that I always remind you is that he is the intelligence of God. That if the Holy Spirit has been sent to lead us and guide us into all truth, he must know the way of truth. And as a result of his knowing or his knowledge of the truth, it makes his ability more than an outburst of an expression, emotional impulse that is predicated upon someone's expression. And so a lot of times we have reduced the role of the Holy Spirit to mere human intellect or mere human emotion, sexuality. And it's been the downfall of the church because where people have said they've operated in the spirit, they have in essence been operating out of their senses. And the only thing that can divide asunder the soul from the spirit or twain from the spirit is the word of God. We must then allow the Holy Spirit to have proper place. So what I often say is that the Holy Spirit is the intelligence of God. It is the express image of his person, the scripture indicates that of the reflection of Jesus that is revealed through the Spirit of God, and that the Spirit of God has a distinct role that is stipulated by the revelation of the Lord Jesus that we all must know so that way when things are occurring in the world, we will be driven by the Spirit and not by the flesh. To me, it's important as ministers of God that we first present and reveal the magnitude of being and allowing the Holy Spirit to be led. A portion of Romans 8:28 says, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, and heirs according to the promise." But we need to make certain that we are working in conjunction with the way of the Spirit. And how does the Spirit work? And a lot of times we talk about that peace and that warm, velvety feeling in the inside. That's not scriptural. People can't live off of a warm and velvety feeling or a quote-unquote sense of peace. We need to know that the Holy Spirit is the intellect of God that reveals the knowledge of God for the people of God. And that after you confess Jesus as Lord, you have access to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not reveal his knowledge, insights, and truths to people who have not accepted the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so it's impossible for an unbeliever to be led by the Spirit. Of course, it is the Spirit that draws them or lures them in. So there's a quality of the Spirit that is evangelical in essence. And so as a result, we have access into this grace by faith, for we are saved as a gift of God. What is that gift? The Spirit of the living God cries within us, "Our Father." That relationship, that yearning to be one with the Father. And it is not you that have chosen him, but it is he that has chosen you because he's drawn you by his Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the intelligence of God. Therefore, we must look at the Spirit of God through his roles, through his rights, and through his reign. And this is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the moments that are presented in time for us will be controlled exclusively by the Holy Spirit. So we must learn how to be driven by the Spirit. And unfortunately, there has not been enough teaching on the Holy Spirit as the intelligence of God to be properly communicated to people to where they can be led by the Spirit. You can be led by the Spirit, but then you start using natural things to interpret spiritual things. And the Bible says a natural man cannot obtain the things of God because they are spiritually discerning. So there's a level, there's a degree instinctively, there's a degree of discernment that is only initiated and activated by the Spirit. And so what we have to go back to is the fundamentals of what the Spirit was sent to do. And look at the words of Jesus, because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He also is the one that has permission to hold us to take rightful place in our lives. And of course, you will always hear me refer you to John 14, 15, and 16. And we're going to go through several passages tonight because I want you to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit. Of course, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians, I believe, 14, make sure I have the right one. First Corinthians 14 and verse 40 said, let all things be done in decency and in order. And so if it's not done in decency and in order, then it's not a characteristic of God or who he says, because that's the nature and the order of God. And God is a God of order and a God of principle. And the Bible told me, the John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I'll be flipping through the scriptures tonight, so I'll give you a little time to get there. The fourth chapter, and let's look at verses 23 through 24. And it says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit, and in truth of the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. That is the greatest definition of a spirit, that a spirit is a God. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so there's a union and an expectation for us to become one with God so that when we can offer the worship that is due him, because God is a spirit and he seeketh such to worship him. And this is the Lord Jesus is saying here in John that John affirms too. And then it tells me in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 21 through 29. And I love this because this is a attribute of the Holy Spirit, a true defining moment of the Spirit. And of course, a lot of times people say, certain look for the peace within, but the peace has to be described so you can understand the peace. And Jesus describes plainly what this particular peace is in verse 18, of course, you understand that Jesus had died on the cross and resurrected from the dead, and then he appeared to Mary the Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled in the fear of the Jews, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them the hands on his side, and the disciples were glad, and then they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he leaned on them and said unto them, the Holy Ghost. So the peace that Jesus is bidding on them is the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, the greatest attribution, and that's why we have to be driven by the Spirit. Why? Because we can obtain the peace of God. And what is the peace? It's that peace that surpasses all understanding. But that peace that surpasses all understanding is that which leads us and guides us into the truth. Why? It is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And so when we do not teach being driven by the Spirit in the manner and without properly defining what the Holy Spirit is, not just a peace or velvety feeling, but the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It is the same Spirit of which Jesus breathed on the disciples and they received the Holy Ghost. Whosoever Whosoever sins he remits, they will be remitted unto them. And whosoever sins he retains, they are retained. And of course, it says, but one of the 12 called Didius was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see them in my hand as a foot. Of course, you know, Didymus was Thomas. Of course, it says, God is Thomas. And then after eight, Revelation, put my finger into his punch and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's a logical aspect of it, but there was greater things to that. Now, notice that Jesus did not move because of his unbelief. Most people make the depiction of this story when what they call doubt in Thomas. They make it seem like Jesus appeared immediately. Well, he said, unless I see for myself, I will not believe. And the scripture says in verse 26 of John 20, verse 20, it says, and after 8 days, again his disciples were with him, and Thomas was with him. And then Jesus came into the door, and being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, peace be unto you. After 8 days, of course, I think that's important to note, because you have to understand there was two experiences. The first, releasing of the peace of God, the 11 disciples received the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Actually, it was the 10 disciples, because you know Judas had hung himself, and the Holy Spirit had not yet been descended upon all the saints which they, prior to that, they cast lots for Messiah, so they were still missing a disciple at that time. So then he said to Thomas, reach him with thy finger and on thy hand, and reach with thy hand and thrust in thy side, and be not faithless, but believer. So here we see a correlation to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of four, first one is received that allots the peace that God intends for us to have that again to pass of all understanding. But the Holy Spirit causes the faithlessness to be eradicated and to produce a state of believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and thou hast believed, blessed are they, because blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And take it as for his very worship. And many other times truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which was not written in the book. But these are written that ye might believe and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son, or that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing ye might have life through his name. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael, Cana of Galilee, sons of Zebedee, two other of his disciples. Simon Peter says unto them, I go a fishing. And of course, what it lets you understand, and I can go on through the rest of 21, but I don't want to talk to you and tell you that you can read for yourself. What it lets you understand, now, of course, you need to realize that by this time, Jesus had raised from the dead, and he was appearing himself several times. If you go through the lineage of the chronology of this particular experience, you'll find that he went to over 40 locations and revealed himself to his disciples. And so I think it's very important that we realize that the Holy Spirit is in direct connection with the authenticity of the resurrection. And contains the knowledge that surpasses all understanding. Why? Because it manifested in the process. See, because of course you understand, he started off with in 20, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you, as of my Father hath sent me, so even so I send you. So the manner in which Jesus manifested for his disciples, based on him being sent of his Father, that same commissioning power and authority, establish the apostles' necessary means to begin to expand the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, being driven by the Spirit, even Jesus was driven by the Spirit. He is our greatest example. He was driven by the Spirit so that it went past natural understanding to the point so that he could walk through walls, manifest his physical body. People could touch him at the places where they pierced him in his side and nailed him in his hands and know that this was the Lord that had risen like he said. So we have confidence that that same driving force that drives the Lord Jesus empowers and affords us the intelligence needed to always maintain our motivation, our stimulation, our witness, and our basis for believing. We must be driven by the Spirit. Amen. And so turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 3. We're bound to give thanks. We are bound to thank God always for you, brother, as it is meet because of your faith, growth exceedingly in charity in every one of you, all toward which toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all the persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Which is a manifest token of righteousness, judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God, recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire to be vengeance. Oh, I'm actually reading from the home. Oh, but this is good too. Well, let's keep going. Flaming taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they that obey not the gospel of our Lord, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his faith, how is he glorified in his faith? By the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And to be admired in all of them that believe, because of the testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that God would grant, would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good works of his pleasures, of his goodness, the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of God, and the Lord of our God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we beseech you by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let the man deceive you with inspired means from the for that day shall not come except there first be a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed the son of perdition. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but unto to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who I'm sorry. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called of God, or that is worshipped, so that he, and God, could have been the temple of God, showing himself that he is a God. Remember ye not that when we were with you yourself, showed you these things, and now ye know what was holding that he might be revealed in this time, for this is the mystery of it that already. That all that he was only he now let us will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed. Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who's coming after the working of Satan, with power, with all power and signs of signs and lying wonders, and with all undeceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And so we understand that the allowing of the Holy Spirit allows us to receive this love of the truth and this truth. And of course, whenever it talks about the Jesus, if you go down to verse 13, it says, "But we abide to give thanks to you always, to God, for you, brethren and beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit to belief of the truth." This is a good passage, not playing, obviously, but it's a good passage for us to revisit because it helps restore the role of what drives us, the Holy Spirit. And the hope, when the Holy Spirit is truly active in your life, you can endure persecution. Why? Because you have power to overcome. That's why you can endure. You have power to overcome by the atmosphere of the Spirit that leads you and guides you into the truth and makes you aware of those things which people try to withhold through satanic devices and activities. But keep encouraged because you have been given the Spirit of God to believe. And of course, I love that particular verse in verse 11 of chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, which says, "Wherefore I also pray always that God would count you worthy of his calling, to fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness, and to work with faith, or as a work of faith rather, with power." Why? Because we really truly qualify our faith, our peace, and the truth by the Spirit, that, the Spirit of God that drives us. Now, 1 Thessalonians, the original chapter I was going to, it says this: "For our gospel came not into you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and as much as showing, as you may know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye being examples to all of them, all that believe in Macedonia and Asia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Asia, but also in the place your faith to God was spread abroad, so that we might need to speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the truth, the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered unto us from the wrath to come. For ye yourselves, for yourselves, brother, know our interest and unto you, that it was not been in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, the Philip before and were shamefully intruded, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." Amen. So, of course, go down to verse 11. "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as the Father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God and have called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we ceasing, for this cause we also thank without ceasing. Because when ye had received the word which ye have heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I want you to make a parallel in John chapter 4, 23 through 24, John chapter 20, verses 21 through 29, Second Thessalonians chapter 1, all the way to the end of chapter 2 through 17, and then now 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse chapter 2, verse 11. I want you to remember how they depict the Holy Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit is at work, you can endure because of his power. You can have peace because of his presence. It enables you that peace is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But it also enables you to be the people of God and to exist in your faith. These are different things that I believe that the Holy Spirit has, or the teaching on the Holy Spirit is lacking. We need to, in this day, allow the Holy Spirit to have proper place and priority in our lives. Take you to some other scriptures. I want to take you to John 14. Let's review some of the essential roles of the Holy Spirit, or the essential role of the Holy Spirit, depicted by the Lord Jesus. Let's go down to 25-31. These things I have spoken to you, being yet present with you. For the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, that's number one, and bring all things to your remembrance, that's number two. Whatsoever I have said unto you, that's number three. Peace I leave with you. That's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that's number four. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give as I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, not as it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. And ye have loved me and you will rejoice, because I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before, it comes to pass. That when it comes to pass, you what might believe. Here you go. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. So we will let you know he's not talking much with you. For the prince of the world cometh and have nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go forward. I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, and that it may bring forth much or more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Amen. So here we see the role of the Holy Spirit. Why am I taking you back to these things? I'm taking you back to the fundamentals of what the Holy Spirit is meant to do. What are the characteristics of the Holy Spirit? So when the Spirit drives you, you know what mechanism he's using. He's going to use the manifestation of his peace. Why? Because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is sent to lead you guys into all truth. One of the major reasons is so that you can believe God. So you can believe, because blessed are you who believe and don't see. So there's a blessing to believing without seeing the work of the Holy Spirit as they did when they were accompanied with Jesus. And then also, we see that faith at work will cause endurance through persecution. So we see the peace, we see the persecution, we see the raising of the people to stand and endure. And then they are glorified in the presence of God. Amen. Driven by the Spirit. Turn with me Romans 5. And we'll close here for tonight. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Why do we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Why? Because he sends peace. Well, what is peace? The manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the true servant. By whom we also have access by faith into the grace where we stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Why? Because we have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulations was the patience. And fixes experience and experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by whom? The Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when ye were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man die. For a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commenced his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if we, when we were enemies, were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all men have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offenses, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is Holy Ghost, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Glory to God. Glory be to God. So this lets us understand the plan of God, the promise of the Spirit, the Spirit being at work in his people, the people walking and operating in their faith, in power, so they could believe, so they could stand confidently in righteousness. Why? Because we're driven by the Spirit. Today we lost a person. We didn't necessarily lose. He translated himself into the kingdom to receive his reward. But we saw someone exemplify the life of the Holy Spirit. He and that work in life of people. Lived a good life. So that peace was effectual in him despite all the trials and tribulations that he went through. As a result, he raised up a people. People could go out and establish educational endeavors from the vision of the plan of God. God enabled a faith to endure. Why? Because the peace of God, the manifestation of the word, drove this man straight into a tank, driven by the Spirit. Our example tonight was just a brief tribute to Dr. Roberts. I know some people might have problems with that. But when you go through things, I think, some of the things I've been thinking in this time, you know, this year I've lost now three major figures. Bishop Delaware Helms, someone that was one of the first examples of a godly man in my life, a godly man that was in an episcopal office that I was able to see behind closed doors operate as a true man of God. And I really respected and admired the time I spent with him. Then Billy Joe Donnie, who helped make important transition to which I'm forever grateful. Now, Oral Roberts, who was very instrumental in the manifestation of the spirit of healing. You know, and some people say he died of pneumonia. I'm not going to agree. And I'm not in denial of the fact that he might have had health challenges. But I believe he was ready to go. He considered often when he spoke. And one opportunity to get in the presence of God, people leave. Of course, you know, you can stay here till you're 120 if you want to. If you really want to, you can stay here as long as you need to. But we do thank God. And ministers of the gospel, I cannot stress the importance of refusing to be that there. We don't race with no expectation to achieve the prizes and the preciousness of the word that we keep hitting in our hearts. There is a goal and an outcome to our striving for perfection, and that is the presence of a crown and a kingdom that fails not of us. I encourage you, ministers of the gospel, to be driven by the Holy Spirit. To allow the Spirit of God to not only be an impulsive expression of emotions, but the very intellect of God working on your behalf to manifest the peace that surpasses all understanding. The power to endure through faith the trials that you face. And this is the grace of the gift that is given as a means to afford you a people that are raised to a righteousness. When you allow those principles and those scriptures to take residence in you, to give you the five aspects of what the Holy Spirit has been sent to be by the authority of the Lord Jesus, you will find that the guiding of the Holy Spirit will not be just religious rhetoric, but it will be the authentic oppression on your path to why you have derived in such great exploits and professions of faith. Thank you for listening to me tonight. I was talking to a minister earlier today. We were talking prior to the knowledge of knowing the transition of Dr. Roberts. We were talking about the demand that is placed upon people tonight and in this era for believers to transition into a divine shift. That being said, on Thursday, prior to we get into some other areas, I want to talk about this shift. I want to give you as much information as possible. So when we transition into 2010, we will not only win or be redeemed from sin, but we will be disciplined. Disciplined in doctrine and discipleship, so that the kingdom of God can truly manifest before our eyes. And we can say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the time of gathering and sharing the word that I have. You fill in the gap, the void, the transitions that could have been improved. You know what I'm doing. I thank you, Lord, that we are one. Thank you. Thank you for life, for your passion that is driven by your presence. You alone will get all glory and praise, honor, in Jesus' precious name. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he and live within you and do that within the world. This is Von Dylan Somerville, and host of U Swat Radio, believing that you have a great and powerful night. Good night, and God bless you. Bye-bye.